Just this week, we heard that President Obama and his family were looking into their Irish history while visiting Ireland for the G8 summit. And, you know, I guess most of us can't take advantage of a business trip like that. The truth is, with online resources and more, a whole lot more, family histories are, I think, easier than ever to research. And a lot of people enjoy doing it. Genealogy is the number one hobby in the United States. Did you know that? I didn't until I talked to Lori Vessler. She's one of our guests today. She's been a guest on the show before, a reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches genealogy workshops to help folks piece together their family histories. Lori, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We have as well by phone Tony Burrows. Tony is an internationally known genealogist, taught genealogy at Chicago State University for 15 years, and he's the author of a book, Black Roots, A Beginner's Guide to Tracing the African American Family Tree. And he's also going to be the featured speaker at this week's African American Genealogy Conference, Looking for a Home. And that conference is going to be held in Madison. He's with us by phone today. Tony, hi, thank you for taking time to be with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry. It is indeed my pleasure. Excited about it.
Yeah, well, great to have you along. Lori, I just start with you first. What are some of the most common resources for researching our family history?
Like you mentioned, a lot of stuff is online, and the basic stuff that you really start with are online. Ancestry.com has a personal subscription, but they also have available at the library, their library edition, that has all of those federal censuses, which are a snapshot of the family every 10 years. It's a great resource to help us identify names, dates, and places. And then you also have things like newspapers to help for obituaries, vital records, the list goes on.
So there's a lot out there. And Tony, what are the challenges that emerge when doing African-American genealogy?
Well, Larry, that's a great question. However, if you would permit me to preempt you a bit.
Sure.
I really like to start with what are the fun and easy things you can do in African-American genealogy.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, because if we talk about the challenges first, then people get discouraged, you know. And I like to really, really encourage people to get started. And anybody that wants to start, anybody wants to do their genealogy can do it. And it doesn't cost any money to get started. So they need to take a positive attitude and think that I want to do this and I can do it. And boom, you can do it. So you really start by writing down what you already know about the family and about your life. And once you do that exercise, you realize you really know a lot more about your family than you realize. You just haven't really thought about it in concrete terms and written it all down. Then what I encourage people to do is talk to their relatives, to go out and interview their mother, their father, their grandparents, their aunts and uncles, because they have all this family history in their head, and it's not on the Internet. That doesn't cost you anything, and anybody can do that. And then from there, you look through your family's attics, your basements, your trunks, your shoeboxes, and you look for artifacts and documents that mention relatives' names on it, things like the family Bible, things like funeral programs, obituaries like Lori mentioned, newspaper clippings, old letters, postcards, photograph albums, all those things around the house, some of which have been passed down from generation to generation. And so that's how we kind of get started, which doesn't cost you anything, and it's easy for everybody to do.
And you know what? That's a lot of fun, too. We've did a lot of that with my mother and my aunt and grandmother. And just especially my grandmother, who it was really a lot of fun to have her reminiscing. And we recorded it, too.
Good.
So we've got the voices. So
good.
That's fun.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun, you know. And it's fun for younger people, and it's fun for adults, too. So whoever gets into it, it's really a lot of fun. And in fact, when you're talking about the old photo albums, some of those things are really funny, you know.
Yeah. Well, how did you get so interested in it, Tony?
Larry, I was really lucky. When I was going to college, I worked with the Black Student Union, and the best-selling book at the time was the autobiography of Malcolm X, and Malcolm was assassinated, and so we couldn't bring him to class, so we brought the person who wrote the book, who was Alex Haley.
Yeah.
And Alex Haley had written the book, and he had put it on the shelf, and then he had started tracing his family history, and he was excited about that, and so he actually told us about him tracing his own family history, and that's how I first learned about it. Prior to then, we had never heard the word genealogy. Several years later, I got started, and like you, Larry, I got so much fun interviewing the older relatives. I got hooked from day one.
Yeah.
Then I've been spending the rest of my life.
Well, you know what? LaVonda was listening or is listening and emailed in to say, since many Black families are involved with churches, it seems like those records could be useful, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, my mother did not have a birth certificate, and the proof of her birth is her baptismal record, which she saved when she got baptized in church. So churches have, you know, they have death records, they have birth records, they have baptism records, they have membership records. Some of them have newspapers. I mean, churches are a wonderful resource if they preserve their records and if they make them available, you know, to genealogists.
Yeah. Talking about researching genealogy, zeroing in a bit here on researching African-American genealogy with Lori Bessler, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society, and with us by phone, Tony Burrows, internationally known genealogist and author of Black Roots, A Beginner's Guide to Tracing the African-American Family Tree. You may have a question or comment. I hope you do. What have you found? Have you done some genealogy work of your own? What resources did you find useful? What about roadblocks? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Lori, the Wisconsin Historical Society has some amazing resources.
We do. We have an amazing amount of information. And one of the things when Tony was mentioning, you know, all the work that you can do before you go to the library, it really lays a good groundwork, the groundwork you need when you start working with a reference librarian. Because then we can help you find those church records. We can help you find other types of parts of the paper trail that you may not know exist. And we have so many of those pieces over at the Historical Society. We have very knowledgeable staff who are able to help you iron out the research plan and figure out where else you can look for more information. So, and we have great opportunities for education, which is wonderful. We have hold workshops and webinars through the fall, winter, and spring. We have work along with the Wisconsin State Genealogical Society to hold conferences. We're going to be involved in their one in September 28th, that will be held in Janesville. We also have workshops that will help you identify more specifics about how to do the research. So it's great opportunities.
Let me piggyback on something that Lori mentioned.
You bet.
She mentioned that they have wonderful people that are there to help you at the Historical Society. I think people need to understand what that means. I always tell people during my lectures that your reference librarian is your best friend, and get to know that reference librarian. A lot of people start genealogy by turning on a computer, going to the internet, and either searching in Google or searching in Ancestry.com. And that's okay. I mean, both of them are wonderful resources. But what happens if you go to Ancestry or Google and you find 1,000 guys that have your ancestor's name?
Yeah,
that's
you know,
right.
And you're sitting there and you're just lost, yeah. You know? But if you go to a place like the Wisconsin Historical Society, and you have a reference librarian there, and you tell her, look, I found 1,000 guys with my name, that reference librarian will help you figure out which one is your ancestor.
That's right. We'll ask a lot of other follow-up questions. It's also that our scope is North American in history. So we have all the United States and Canada. So it's not simply if you're connected to Wisconsin. It's to any of this area.
Yeah. So if you're going to do research, you could do it at home, but doing it at a library or historical society, you have that personal help to help you and solve those problems, answer those questions, and take you to another level and take you step by step.
Very interesting. Mohammed in Madison has a question. Hi, Mohammed. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, my mother is biracial. I know a little bit about and want to learn more about my mother's African-American side of the family, but her father was Caucasian. She was born in Savannah, Tennessee, which many of the women from Nashville told me there's no such place. But my mother was born in Savannah, Tennessee, and I know absolutely nothing about her white father and his family. Our family had to leave there when my mother was a kid, and I don't know if this is a myth, that one of her uncles was defending himself and killed a white man, so they had to leave Savannah, Tennessee, and go to Caruthersville, Missouri. But I know nothing about Savannah, Tennessee, or this family, the Gerald family, who not only my mother's father, but some of his brothers, I think each fathered a child by one of my grandmother's sisters. And they already had married, you know, were married and had families, but I know nothing about. How would I look, find out who these people are?
Well, any genealogy starts with yourself because you're the first link in your family tree, and it proceeds backward one generation at a time. So your first job is to document your life. Do you have your birth certificate? You know, do you have your parents' birth certificates, death certificates, and marriage licenses? Have you located them in the census records? And so you document your life, then you go back one generation, you document your parents' lives, as well as your aunts and uncles. Because oftentimes we think about our mother, our grandmother, great-grandmother, and great-great-grandmother, or our father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather. But who's to say that your grandmother has a document to lead back to her mother? It could be any one of the siblings. So each one of those siblings can give us a little bit and piece of that family history. So you not only document your parents, but also their brothers and sisters. When I say document them, I mean you get their birth certificate, your death certificate, their marriage license, and you locate them in the census record. Once you do that, you build a strong foundation going backward. So that's the essence of what you want to do.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We are talking about researching genealogy and zeroing in here on researching African-American genealogy with Lori Bessler, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society, and Tony Burrows, internationally known genealogist. He'll be the featured speaker at this week's African-American Genealogy Conference, Looking for a Home in Madison. We'll talk some more about that and answer your questions right after the news. Family histories can be exciting or sometimes painful, but they're always fascinating. Hi, Larry Mueller here, focusing today on African-American genealogy and some of the best resources available for delving into those family trees. There's a conference focusing on African-American genealogy coming up this week in Madison, so it's a great time to look into that topic. And one of the really enthusiastic guys and upbeat guys that you're ever going to meet, Tony Burrows, is an internationally known genealogist, taught genealogy at Chicago State University for 15 years, and is author of Black Roots, A Beginner's Guide to Tracing the African-American Family Tree. He's going to be the featured speaker at this week's African-American Genealogy Conference, Looking for a Home. It's going to be held in Madison. Tony, a pleasure to have you with us today.
Larry, the pleasure is mine. Trust me.
Well, I tell you what, it's good to have you and Lori Bessler as well. Lori's been a guest on the show before. She's a reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Teaches genealogy workshops to help folks piece together their histories. And Lori, great to have you back as well.
Thank you. It's always good to be back.
And this conference, before we go any further, I want you to tell us a little bit about this conference. And Bob in Merton, Wisconsin, we'll get to you in just a sec.
Yeah, the conference it runs from Friday to Saturday. You can actually register for one or the other day or both days. And there are different speakers. Mostly Tony's presentations are on Saturday. We have speakers on Friday. Walter McDonald will be talking about a book he wrote on Joshua Glover. Mm-hmm. I will be speaking on Ancestry and Family Search, two of the greatest websites out there that have a lot of depth to them and need better explanation than the commercials will do. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about that. Jim Hansen, another reference librarian at the Wisconsin Historical Society, nationally known speaker, he will be speaking on African-American newspapers that are at the Wisconsin Historical Society as well as other institutions. And so those presentations are going to be happening. On Saturday, we also have Crystal Moten, who is associated with the UW History Department, speaking on Milwaukee women's groups that she's done extensive research on. And so there's a lot of great content, and it's not simply explaining about genealogy. It's mixing in history, which is what
which
we
is
need
always
to do.
Cool.
Yeah, we need to do that very, very seriously.
And Tony, have you ever been here to the to Madison, to the University of Wisconsin?
Oh yeah. In fact, we had a national conference there I spoke at, and been up there a couple times. Not as often as I should get up there. You know?
And what are you going to be speaking about?
I'm going to give three talks. Mm-hmm. One talk is going to be what I call Black Roots, which talks about, you know, how to get started, you know, and how to move from A to B to C to D, and how to solve some family rumors and family riddles, because, you know, we all have these skeletons in the closet.
Yeah.
You know? And then I'm going to be talking about Research and Pullman Porters. The Pullman Company was the largest employer of African-Americans at the turn of the last century. And so they have a lot of good records that are not far away to get to. And then I'm going to be talking about what I call the nature of genealogy. And it's kind of a mix for primarily for experienced people, but also for beginning and intermediate people also, that once you find a new ancestor, you know, even though you've been searching for a while, what kind of strategies do you put together, you know, to research that particular ancestor? All too often we get the name of an ancestor, and we immediately try to start researching that ancestor without developing a strategy, without understanding the resources, without understanding the repositories, and essentially without really knowing a heck of a lot about what we're doing, you know. And I always tell people is that you need to try to learn what you're doing before you start doing it, you know.
Yep.
You have to learn how to drive a car before you drive a car. You don't just get in and, you know, turn on the ignition, you know. And it's similar to genealogy. Even though you can turn on the internet and you can go to a site and put in your name, it doesn't mean you know about genealogy. It doesn't mean you can do genealogy research. And you will often come into problems, which we'll talk about. You'll come into conflicts where you have a person that has, you know, you have multiple different dates of birth for him, or multiple places of birth, or you might find a dozen people with the same name. So there's a lot about genealogy that deals with problem solving and understanding records and understanding repositories. It's just not all in, you know, putting in your name and then the family history comes back at you.
Yeah, it's a journey. It really is. It's that, and you want to enjoy that journey through the whole process, not just pop online and find a couple names and say, oh, that's kind of interesting. You want to actually put more effort into it, and the way you'll just get so much back from that journey.
And, you know, it's, you know, like Lori says, it's a journey. It's like solving a puzzle. It's like solving a mystery, you know, because you know you have this family out there. You may know a little bit about it, but not a whole lot. And each time you make a discovery, Larry, it is so freaking exciting.
Well,
I'm sure Lori can tell you better than me how many times she's sitting at the reference desk and she hears somebody scream in the background.
It's true. They do. They're getting emotional about things, yes.
That's great. Well, Bob in Merton, Wisconsin has a comment. I want to give him and get him involved here. Hi, Bob.
Hi. First of all, I do live in the town of Merton. I'm a 32-year genealogist. I started in 1981.
Wow.
And I've been at it a long time. I'm a volunteer at the Germantown Historical Society for 19 years. I've been in all the courthouses on the eastern shore of Wisconsin.
Wow.
From Kenosha County to Marinette County. Of course, that's cut back a little bit because of the... I won't even get into it unless you want me to. But, well, it's the cost. The example is Milwaukee charging $7.50 a record. But nevertheless, I am suggesting that people... not only look in courthouses, they also look in libraries and in historical societies. Now, Germantown has a wonderful source of information. Sheboygan has a wonderful source of information. Waukesha, Hartford, these various places are historical societies or genealogy societies organized, and they do a great job. So now... rattled on. Any questions for me?
No, it's true. And you know what is that some of the hardest work being done out there with indexing, with documenting history, is being done at the local level. And these people have a passion for it. And that's why I always tell people there's so many levels of places to check. Local historical society, state historical society. Each of us have something unique. You can't cross out one because you've gone to the other.
I would like to intercede with supporting information. An individual that you have there indicated, don't be sure that you've got the right person when you get the name and the date. I started out in the Washington County area. There were 9 Jacob Klumps all living at the same time. I had to sort that out.
Yeah.
When I got to Milwaukee and looked for August Schwartz, there were 14 August Schwartzes alive in the early 1900s. The example, there were 4 Scott Coleses born in the state of Wisconsin in the same week in 1956. You have to sort those out. Mm-hmm. There are 2 Jennifer Coleses born in Milwaukee on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to search, look hard.
Yep.
It's persistence.
Yeah,
that's
it's
what you have to keep working at it, you know?
Yeah. Another suggestion I have is don't forget the University of Wisconsin, various extension offices and that sort of thing. University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee has a wonderful map location, probably the best in the Western Hemisphere other than the Library of Congress.
Yeah, I've been there. It's a great collection.
Yes, definitely.
And it was moved there in the 80s from a giveaway situation in New York City, and they had 16 semis move those maps into Milwaukee.
Wow. Yes, that would have been massive to see.
That is very cool information. Bob, thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
You are welcome.
You can join in, too, with your questions or comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Mary in Madison next. Mary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you today?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Thank you for having me. My question is from Mr. Burroughs. Mr. Burroughs, actually, I met you in Milwaukee in February at the genealogy conference.
Oh, great.
There. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I've been on fire with trying to get information ever since. I've been
good.
I actually asked you at that conference a question about my grandfather, who was born in Havana, Cuba. And I've been finding some great information about him. They list him in the 1930 census as having active military service.
Okay.
But it's listed with not like WW from World War One or whatever, but it's listed as I'm at a loss right now. But
I think it was SP.
Thank you, Lori. Yeah,
you're welcome.
I don't have the paper right here. Yeah, and so and I asked Lori, she said it was the Spanish American War. That's what SP stands for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I wondered what your thoughts were on you know, which way can I start searching for that specific information?
All right. Here, you have a couple different strategies. One, do you know when he died?
I do.
You do? Great. And you know where he died?
Yes.
You do?
I have a copy of his death certificate.
Great. And does it reference, what year did he die?
Oh, I don't have it right here with me.
Did
I'm sorry.
His death certificate reference that he was a military veteran?
No, it does not.
Okay. That's all right. Here's a couple of different strategies that you need to pursue. Since you know when he died and where he died, have you looked for an obituary for him?
Well, I have, and I've been actually working with the Ohio Historical Society, and they're really great people. So your comment earlier about reference librarians are great, I definitely agree.
Yes.
Lori as well, too, but they have not been able to find an obituary, but they did find a newspaper article in regards to his death, which was a tragic accident with his vehicle and a train.
Oh.
They were not able to come up with an actual obituary.
Okay.
And I've been in touch with the cemetery there, too, as far as what they might have.
What city did he die in?
Salem, Ohio.
Okay. Since he got hit by a train, then you know there's a coroner's inquest record. Have you checked for that?
Well, not that specifically. I didn't think about that, but I did contact the police department.
Yes.
See if they had a specific accident report or something.
When a person dies due to unnatural causes, and getting hit by a train is not a natural cause of death.
No, it isn't.
There would be a coroner's inquest. And that should be noted on the death certificate. And those are county records. It's either the county coroner or in some areas it's a medical examiner. But that would be in the county of where he died. So you need to get in touch with that county and see how to order the coroner's inquest records. So that's one thing you want to do. The other thing, in terms of an obituary, you've got – where do you live?
I live in Madison.
In Madison. Okay. You coming to the workshop this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Well, do you know Lori?
Yes, she does.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Have you talked to Lori about finding Ohio newspapers at the State Historical Society?
It's on our list of things, yes.
Yes.
Oh, you all have talked about it?
Yeah, we've gone through this case and tried to find what is the paper trail and everything.
Okay, great. Okay. Now, in terms of records for Spanish-American War, those are, well, I started to say they're federal military records. Sometimes they're state military records because there were both. There was a state and federal units for the Spanish-American War. As I talked about, I mentioned earlier, like, you need to know what you're looking at before you start researching. And in my talk tomorrow on the nature of genealogy, I'm specifically going to talk about some military research strategies. So that it's great that you're coming. You'll be able to pick up a lot for that. But what I would suggest you go for first, there's a book, a reference book called Genealogical Records in the National Archives, or A Guide to Genealogical Records in the National Archives. Are you familiar with that at all?
No, not at all, but I'm writing the name down.
It's in the State Historical Society collection, but A Guide to Genealogical Records in the National Archives. There's also one called Guide to Federal Records in the National Archives. One is slanted toward genealogy. The other is slanted toward everything else. But both of them should be applicable.
And I believe we have them both at Wisconsin Historical.
I know you have them both.
Yep.
Yes. And you would take both of those and look under Spanish-American War. Now, do you know what regiment he was in?
Not know. The only thing that I know is what was on the 1930 census.
Okay. Yes. That's where an obituary could help. But anyway, if you look at those two guides, they'll tell you specifically how to research soldiers that were in the Spanish-American War. Also, in the county where he died, oftentimes there is a veterans office. And in the veterans office, they track the veterans in that county because they put flags up on their grave markers, you know, on Veterans Day. So you need to contact them, see if they have him listed, because sometimes they'll have him listed with the name of his regiment because you need to, at some point in time, find out the name of his regiment. Now, the other thing is that you want to look for a military service record, and you want to look for a pension file. Those are two separate records. Military service record has to do when he was in the service. The pension record has to do when he was a veteran, when he got out of the service. Both of those would be very helpful. Depending on when he died, and if he applied for a pension, then that would likely be at the National Archives in Washington. However, if he lived a long time, he could have a file at the Veterans Administration, which would not be at the National Archives, but which is at the VA. So that's why, again, it's important to know when he died. But there is a pension index which you can check to see if you found his name. But that's a lot of different records to check if you understand what I'm saying.
Good luck, and thanks very much. And we'll see you this weekend at the event. Thanks. And maybe before we take another call, Laura, let's go back to the event because I want to make sure people know about it.
Yeah, you know what is that? We have a registration form on our website, wisconsinhistory.org, but because it's so close to the event and it starts on Friday, runs through Saturday, it's best if you are interested in attending just to email us at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, and then we'll arrange for you to bring payment to us at the actual conference. So if people are interested in registering, definitely email. I'm the one who manages that email address. And we do have a lot of presentations that will help people to this depth of what Mary's example was.
You want to repeat that email address again, please?
asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
Yeah. And we'll have that up on my Facebook page, too, so that people can get to it if they didn't get it written down.
Exactly, yes.
Kimberly, and that's, where is it held? Right on?
It's actually held here on campus at the Pyle Center. And so when you email, we email more information about the location and a map and everything. And there is parking downtown.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of construction going on right around your building.
Yeah, there's construction mess in the area, but you have pretty free access to get to Pyle Center. So
absolutely.
But let us know ahead of time because we do have a head count going on this. So there is a limit as to how many people.
Okay.
We still have a good amount of room, though, so we're encouraging people to register.
Kimberly and Madison, quick question from you.
Yes, I wanted to know what advice would you have if you kind of have a limited search? My son is half African American, and his father knows very little about his past. And from what I've gotten to, I've kind of just reached a dead end. You know, I can get to maybe his great-great-grandparents, and then I've just stopped, and I want to know if there's anything or any strategies.
You know what? Great-grandparents is not limited.
You
know a lot more than you know than you think. So, yeah, on my part, for the Wisconsin Historical Society, you can actually make an appointment with one of us, come in and talk to us, and we'll help you iron out a plan. And so we know the various records to look at. We know how the questions to ask you, because you usually people know more than they realize they know. And so that on our part, that's what my answer would be.
And on your side, Tony, any comments?
Well, I would say the same thing. And you kind of start with how much do you really know about genealogy, you know, which, again, why it's good to come to someplace like the conference as well as coming to the Historical Society is because the more you know about records, the more you know about methodology, and the more you know about strategy, then you'll be able to break through those barriers or so-called brick walls that you have, you know. But for individual problems, it's best, like Lori said, to sit down and talk with a person so they can see what you've done. We encourage people to create what we call family tree charts. There's what you call a pedigree chart, which shows your bloodline going backward, has your name, your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and the dates of birth, death, and marriage, and the places of birth, death, and marriage.
Yeah.
And the other chart is like a family group sheet. We have the mother, the father, and all the children, as well as the dates and places of birth, marriage, and death. So once a person like Lori or myself can look at those charts, you see what the holes are in terms of what is missing, and you see where they've done research, and you can ask some intelligent questions about have you done this, have you done that, and then give you a ton of suggestions on where to go to next.
We'll also include your son in that process, too.
And we have to wind it up. Laurie and Tony, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Look forward to hopefully another visit.
That would be lovely.
That would be, it'll be great. Tony Burroughs is going to be the featured speaker at this week's African American Genealogy Conference on UW-Madison campus. Laurie Bessler with the Wisconsin Historical Society. Go to our Facebook page to learn more about this conference and about the Historical Society. And thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.